Let's go ahead and talk about a little horror history right here. You know, you got your boys over here, Michael and Jason, you know, two famous slashers, and they've had histories of kills. When you've been killing as long as they have, you know, just simple killing don't do. You got to get creative after a while. They've gotten into a lot of creating killing back in the day. Even Freddy used to kill people with dreams. I'll put him in there, too. I don't know if your boy Jigsaw counts as a slasher. I guess you can say that. But, you know, the reason why I'm confused, because, you know, his technical expertise and creativity cannot be beat. You know, traps.
He doesn't get his hands dirty.
He don't get his hands dirty, but he makes up for it with imagination. Creativity.
Innovation.
Yeah. Innovation. There you go.
He's more of a gadget killer.
There you go. I would say, you know, a lot of people won't count him in there because he doesn't fit the regular mold, but I say he's probably ahead of his time.
With the Rube Goldberg shit.
Perhaps he represents the new regime.
There you go. You know what? I'm going to throw him in there. You got it, man. All these slashes right here, there's a level of creativity to all of them is what we're trying to say. So it's hard to be original. If you ever want to come up and be a slasher killer in a movie, you're like, well, fuck, what's my angle going to be? There's really not much to do. That's really, it's all been done. There's no originality here. But you got to learn to embrace the new.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one would-be slasher out there who thought about this, and he said, you know what? None of these people ever killed anybody with an Airbnb. I could do that. Yeah. That's my angle.
I mean, that's the new thing. Kids are all into it.
Yeah, I'm the first. I'll be the first. Yeah, ain't nobody ever done it. Aha, I got it. That's what I'm going to do. The Airbnb killer. That's going to be me. That's what we got here in this movie, The Rental, Billy. It's Dave Franco's. David Franco, as you can see right now, he says, yes, I'm a serious director now. No more of that funny shit or following my brother's shadow.
You're right. Did my brother let you do that?
As I said, you know, he says, I'm the good brother. I didn't touch nobody. Come on, nobody in creepy ways. Call people in the middle of the night and shit.
16-year-old girls.
16-year-old girls. He's like, no. I was too busy thinking about my script. I should direct one day. So, Jesus Christ, Ray looks just like this dude. He had a guy named Ray on the show. Looks just like him.
He does look like him.
And it's so funny. Ray's always like, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I know.
When people say it, though, they don't see it usually.
Yeah. He's being modest. But we had a guy look just like him. But what you have here, you got The Rental. This is the directorial debut by Dave Franco. Don't call him James. Don't get him mixed up with that. What you have here is two couples who decide to go out, and all kind of connected in certain ways, either by their employment or their personal relationships. And they decide, you know, I've been working hard. I've been doing this. You know, I need to connect with my brother. You know, me and the girl need a weekend out. You know, let's all put that all in one bucket right here. Let's take a trip together. Just a nice, quiet, what do they call those things? A stay-away vacation.
Staycation.
Well, staycation is when you stay home, right?
Or it's you stay in your own town.
Stay in your own town.
But this is just a getaway. Weekend getaway.
Weekend getaway. Just find a nice beach. Get some drugs. And let's all have a good time. You know, I'm going to tell you, that shit never really works out.
You know? Well, you let us know in a couple weeks.
Yeah, people, I'm about to take the same trip.
I'm about to take the same fucking trip, man.
Sure is.
We even got the same car.
Oh, shit.
We got the same fucking car they got.
Same color. That's your like, ass, this, Mr. Postman.
This shit is probably an omen. Maybe I should just keep my ass at home. Take a real staycation as a stay your ass at home vacation. But because this did not go well for these people. It does not. So let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for The Rental. And we'll be back to tell you more about the premise, the story, and our opinions of the film right after this.
Let me show you out back, and then I'll get out of your hair. The stars are insane out here.
I should have brought the telescope.
Oh. What do you need a telescope in the city for? Unless you're like a peeping Tom or something.
ass when you get in the car and take your ass back home.
All right, never mind.
Cancel this shit.
We saw it.
Fuck the refund.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know.
You can keep that deposit, man.
Listen, it's easy to say that, but when you're driven out a long way to get somewhere, you ain't so quick to want to just turn around and go back home.
If my first talking about shit like that, then maybe.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe he had just left it at that. Right. That motherfucker got to put that creepy-ass laugh on his shit. Yeah.
Moving his hips while I did it, too.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, no, hell no.
Nah.
No, hell no. No. No, motherfucker.
We good.
Yeah, you know what? Keep the deposit. Yeah. I'm going home.
I should have brought the telescope.
What do you need a telescope in the city for? Unless you're like a peeping Tom or something.
That means that motherfucker's gonna be a peeping Tom. Because you know what that said? Yeah.
Can't wait to see that bitch naked.
Yeah, yeah. Because that means, okay, wait, what are you, peeping Tom or something? Like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you just gave yourself away.
I'm your boy.
Yeah,
that's
you
what
just,
I would do if I was in
the city. Fuck out of here with that.
What?
Charlie! Tell me that's not a camera.
Get through the night. We leave first thing in the morning.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you can't blame her. She was going through this so quietly. Like a goddamn doggy.
Goddamn. Hee-haw! Yeah, hee-haw! Right, hee-haw!
Plop, 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 pop-a-da-pop-a-da-pop-a-da. It's like, man, please somebody kill her. She's getting on my goddamn nerves. Go get her. Put a rubber mask on.
Yeah, man. You know, it's best not to tell you anything at all about this as far as the story
so
goes.
Good night.
Yeah. Yeah. So, see you. But, you know, Doug, because, I mean, I'll tell you this much, because I don't want to tell you too much about the story itself, but I will tell you that if you are going in this expecting like an action-packed, gore-filled horror movie, don't. Because that is not what this is. This is one of those, and I've heard it described like this, and they got it. It's one of those it's a crazy name, but mumblecore. You know, apparently it's a subgenre, mumblecore, where there's a lot of talking, a lot of character development, more on the human side than there is on a supernatural, horror, or any other kind of side. You know, it's usually limited on space characters. Most of these characters are interacting with each other more than they're interacting with any of the other elements involved. So,
and it's co-written by Joe Swanberg, who makes a lot of mumblecore movies.
Yeah,
is there like Mark Duplass does those things?
Yep, that's it. Mark Duplass. And all. You've heard mumblecore dramas, and they've had horror before too.
So just talk.
A lot of times with mumblecore horror, it's not even horror. It's like some dude was just fucking with somebody.
Right, right.
This is a horror movie. Have no doubt it is. But you know, before you get into it, they do center on the characters more. And the reason why is because in order to create tension, they don't do that with any kind of jump scares or they don't do it with any typical horror elements that you have out there. You don't even know what's happening with the quote unquote killer in this, because most of the tension is coming from secrets that these people have, relationships that are already a little bit strained before they get there. I mean, just from fucking arguing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sets up right away with these characters. Like, you get to know how tight they are, and you get a hint of why the relationships are, if not so much strained, potentially going to be. And you can already see some shit on the horizon that they don't see.
Yeah, yeah. And how, I don't know. Because the shit is out there.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's everybody trying to be like, well, I'm sure it's going to be cool. I'm sure it'll be fine. And if, hey, things might be fine. You might be able to ride things out. But not if you go on vacation together and you're cooped up on a ride to a spot and you're staying there the whole weekend. Shit's going to blow up.
Yeah.
I was like, the thing about this, I was like, wow. You know what? Say there's no horror element, no killer comes around. This is not going to end well.
The horror in here is from a bad idea. You know, they like these people. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with them. They never should have done this. Mm-hmm. They never should have done this. You have Dan Stevens, who, as an actor, I really love this guy because he takes projects big and small.
Oh yeah.
He just this guy just wants to act, and he really does do a great job. Like, a lot of people don't even know this guy's British anymore.
Oh, I know. Well, the thing is, I see, like, in this movie, he's bulking up again. Because the first time I saw him was in a movie called The Visitor, where he played this this war vet
who
came to this family. And he was buff. I was like, shit, this dude could play Captain America if he wanted to.
Yeah. Marvel must be calling him. Well,
but then he got skinny for all the other stuff he was doing. Well, he was Legion.
He's not a big guy. He has to work out at it. Because everything I see him in, he's skinny. I just saw him in that show I talked about, High Maintenance. I saw him in that that recent movie from, it was on Netflix. We talked about it. Where he played a Russian singer.
The Eurovision.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name?
With Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But watch him here. Yeah. It's like, yeah, maybe his agent said, like, hey, I can get you a superhero property.
Yeah. I'm going to take a bet and say it. I wonder if they're talking to this guy, because we joked about it. I wonder if they're actually talking to this guy about being Dr. Doom at some point. He's bulking up for something. I heard Marvel's talking to him about something.
Okay. So,
yeah, he told me, so, you know. He won't tell me what it is. But I need to see that movie, The Guest, man. Everybody says it's so cool.
It is.
Yeah.
The Visit or The Guest?
Yeah, wait, is it The Guest?
I think it's The Guest.
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
I'm going to say
Yeah, The Guest. But no, I saw it at South by Southwest, and it was one of my favorite movies I saw there.
He's really good, man, but everybody in here is good. Allison Brie plays his wife. You saw the people in the trailer. Shella Van plays his working partner, and Jeremy Allen White. What has he been in before?
It's on Shameless.
Shameless. Okay. I haven't seen that show. Oh. But yeah, that's his brother, and who has a dark past of his own, which one of the reasons why they're going out there. Even that guy, man, this guy Toby Huss, I like this guy.
I like that guy. I like him in everything I see him in.
Oh yeah.
Even as creepy and nasty as he was, I was like, I still like this actor so much.
And he's always playing goofy too.
Yeah. What's his name? Toby Huss. His guy's name is Taylor, man. I gotta tell you, these people are suspicious of him, and they probably have a reason to be. And he's an asshole, and it's not a good guy, but for some reason, I liked him better than them. Like, he's probably the biggest asshole out of all, probably, but, you know.
Well, you know what? Because we're unsure of where he comes from. Like, we're like, is he an asshole? Is he just clueless? Is he just into himself?
But, no filter.
But with some of them, we're like, one character in particular, you like.
Is it who I'm thinking of?
You just fucking shady, man.
confrontation and that. Early on, you did this thing. I don't want to say.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't know.
Y'all can talk about the thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid.
You don't fuck around and spoil stuff.
It's just like, you know. Yeah. Look. They're within our crew, our main cast of characters. The morals, at least with some of them, are ambiguous, and with one. It quickly becomes not ambiguous.
Yeah,
that person's coming from.
These are really not likable people, even when they try to make a point, and it might be, you know, they might be a valid point, but for some reason, they just graded me the wrong way. I didn't hate them. I think the point is to make them not that likable. So I, you know, you did it, but
you just called me on guard. So I mean,
I thought that, like, I hate them, but it was just kind of like there were certain moments I'm like, man, you have a point, but you're not really going about this the right way. There were so many bad decisions made before anything even goes down. So they're not likable people, but that's the point of the movie.
That's interesting.
They're not likable. the tension between them is supposed to be the suspense before any faceless boogeyman shows up in here at all. You know, any faceless killer shows up. And that is a wild. And they succeed at that. Dave Franco succeeds at that, man.
Let me ask a question. These are two couples, right?
Like, yes.
He's with the gal and Allison Breeze with Dan Stevens. Yeah. Okay, making sure. All right.
But I tell you what, when the killer—
And the two guys are brothers.
Yeah.
And they're brothers.
But I tell you, when the killer does show up, the creep factor does work in well. I would tell you this, man. This guy's relentless that they have in here. It's going to take a while before you even know that he's in here. But he's relentless in ways that you don't even imagine. I'm going to tell you, the motherfucker's like a Best Buy employee gone psychotic.
What?
Because this guy he puts so much time into fucking with people's personal lives before he even does anything that's kind of considered to be horror in here. It's almost irritating and it's angering that he does this. He stirs shit up between people. He's toying with people before he goes in and does anything to them. And it works on your paranoia because when you see what they do in this movie, I used to stay in Airbnbs all the time. And yeah. I'm checking every goddamn thing when I get there. It makes you so paranoid. Mm-hmm. Before the killer does anything, the movie fucks with you psychologically and your insecurities about going to a strange house to stay in because technology has gotten that far now that anybody can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to a rental or Airbnb, it's going to make you, and that's what a horror movie should do. It should make you really fear and make you paranoid about the times that you live in. Things that have happened, the simple things that are around you.
It's funny. I listened to a whole report about how, like, everybody's afraid of picking up hitchhikers now.
Yeah.
But there was a time when people did it all the time. And it was only a few stories of hitchhikers, you know, attacking people that just knocked the bottom out of that whole market.
Yeah.
And when Airbnb got started, that was a big thing of like, all right, you know about this whole hitchhiker thing. How are we going to get people to trust each other? And somehow they got over it and they got this going. But this is the kind of thing that could set all that back.
Yeah, it really could, man. Along with other reports coming out where people are putting cameras and shit. And, you know, these people get fucked with royally, man. And it's, you know, and it only adds when the shit goes down. It's kind of like, fuck, man. I don't know if y'all have any hope of surviving this or not, because he's already mentally done y'all in. Like, that's one thing about it, man. You almost admire this guy. It's like, I'm going to go in and fuck with these people and turn them on each other before I even do anything.
Shit, half my work is done.
Yeah, it's going to be easy pickings by the time I get in here. I'm not going to say what happens with these people when they turn on each other, but these people come in tight, man. They come in tight, and they just see what happens with them later, where they just get mentally broken down in a span of 24 hours. It's like, fuck, I don't know if I'm like, should hate this guy. I admire him.
Just came to say we'll be outside. Won't say anymore. He had nothing to do with this.
I'm already guilty.
No, you aren't. You didn't do anything.
I didn't call the police. If we get caught, I'm an accomplice to murder, just like you and Mina.
We can say you weren't even here.
Just go. Go do what you need to do so we can get out of here.
This will be over soon, I promise.
This will never be over.
Yeah, shit. You don't even know. And I tell you that Dave Franco is great. I'll tell you what he does here. I mean, as a director, I would tell you this. As a directorial debut, strong, I think. For the movie that, you know, we can talk about that in a little bit, but I think his directorial debut as in the era of horror, the area of horror, is very strong. And because what he does here is that he knows how to work with atmosphere. This is the first movie I've seen in a long time where somebody knows how to actually use jump scares and use them effectively. Because these jump scares are not. They're not fake outs.
Mm-mm.
Shit, if you get jumped, you get jumped. You know,
shit. Ain't no cats jumping out, right?
Fuck being scared. You got it. You know,
that's true. That's true, none of that's wasted.
No, that's, if, yeah.
Ooh, gotta shake that off.
Every jump scare, that means some shit in here. And that motherfucker's relentless with it, man. Like, you know, like this shit, like, the, every jump scare has consequences. Mm-hmm. It's not there to just, it's not a cheap shot. But, you know, he does a lot just with the atmosphere itself. I mean, the music, the score in this is very creepy. Very minimal.
That's always creepy to
me. Yeah. As a guy who knows, like, I'm working with a certain budget, so let the simple things work for themselves. Let the atmosphere work for itself. Let the quiet work for itself. Let the sparseness of this movie work for itself.
Yeah, everything is the house and the woods.
Yep. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that movie, The Collector, where it's a movie on a smaller budget, but they work within certain limited confines. And they work with a lot of mystery behind that and a lot of atmosphere. It's one of those low-budget
lighting, too, The Collector.
Yep, exactly.
Sorry, I'm going to jump.
No, you're right. Yeah,
where's wrong house, that? Motherfucker.
Yeah. Where there's just a
knock, 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 knock. Yeah, yeah. Oh, where's somebody over here? No, I saw this based on your recommendation because I remember I thought it was gonna be.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was gonna be stupid, but it was a while ago. But you've been like, no, man, you see.
Oh, that's weird. I always had the impression that you didn't like The Collector.
I mean, that's why I'm asking because I liked the sequel.
Yeah, I liked the second one a lot. I never saw the first.
You know,
one
maybe Tony recommended this.
Maybe it was Tony.
Yeah, it was Tony because one of the things I thought I might need to re-see it.
Loved it is a strong word. I liked it.
Okay, yeah, I probably have to see this again because but I think.
Wrong, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it must have been Tony because I remember thinking, oh man, I watch this bullshit and I can't wait to see him again. I'm fuck with him. You know, and then I ended up liking it. But then sometimes I have a problem where if I've got really low expectations for something,
sure, I end up not hating it.
Yeah. I end up, you know.
I think I thought the movie was a little too cruel at the time, but I might just need to see it again because I really loved the. I didn't love it, but I really liked the sequel to it.
I was very pleasantly surprised, so that's why.
But I probably have a little more respect for it because there's a lot of the same elements right here, man. It's just like this mystery guy that's kind of out in the open, but at the same time not. A lot of dark places to hide, people being messed with for what other reason other than to be cruel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought as a budget-type project, very strong.
I don't really like horror movies all that much. And what I've discovered over the last couple of years is that while I don't like horror movies, I do like thriller horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And this one I found to be very effective in as much as it is mostly, I mean, three quarters of it is just a tense drama that starts to leak into a thriller that then becomes a horror movie. And I was very on board with that. The fact that, like you mentioned, these characters not being likable. And it's true, but they aren't unlikable in a horror movie way, where it's that, oh, they're so stupid, I can't wait till they get killed. It's just like, man, you guys are like people, I know, you're like real people.
Yeah.
And some of you are doing, you think you're a good person and you're not.
Yeah.
And we're getting to see all this. And all this shit you're doing, it's making me nervous because I know it's going to blow up in your faces. If not during this movie, it's going to be afterwards. And then the elements of what's going on, like that you know, what they show with the camera, and there's that underlying creepiness of this place they've rented for the weekend already with the caretaker, and some of that ends up being, you know, a little bit of misdirection, so that it kind of catches you, at least caught me off guard. Like by the time the horror element comes in, I'm like, oh shit, I forgot that was even supposed to be part of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now this is a whole new thing to deal with. And it didn't have that feeling of like, screech! Okay, this stops and this comes in. It was like, this has been here the whole time. It's just
now. You just didn't see me.
now it has just moved itself to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And now there's this to deal with. And it's weird because I've just been watching this show, Search Party, that's about these millennials trying to solve this mystery. And because of some shady shit they do, they get deeper in trouble. And I was like, man, this is what a wild parallel this is. But I love the way I got just pulled. pulled into this, and I found myself just completely like this, like ripping my cheek. And this killer, there's nothing supernatural about him.
That's always the scariest.
No, that's what makes it scary. Because all the moves and stuff, are you like, totally plausible.
Yeah.
Right. You go somewhere, any motherfucker could be doing this to you.
Yeah.
And could catch you slipping and come running after you with regular speed and not that supernatural shit where they walking slow and you run and catch up to you.
And he don't even walk slow. No.
But I'm saying that's what's always scary. It's like when I see the movies where the guy's not supernatural, and like I said, I'm not going to. No. You know, I didn't see this, but when someone's running right behind him like that always get or catching him, you know,
he
off guard
walk
or
slow.
Something.
He doesn't teleport. He is like a actual human being.
Right. Right.
He's
Yeah. He plans.
Which
his
is scarier because it's more real.
And like I said, this is just cruel. What he's doing, man. It's just like he's just an asshole. You know. It's like,
I found myself even gripped all through the credits, just like, what is this? And I found the answer to be satisfying. Matter of fact, there's things I thought about after the movie was done. I was like, yeah, shit. Yeah.
Okay, well, see, that for me, like, my whole thing was, like, if you think about it too hard, it
falls apart.
Yeah, well, I think, well, you know, the end credits of the movie are even creepier than the actual film, which are not, that's not a criticism. It's a cool thing. But if you think about how plausible this is, I think it gets kind of dumb after that, because I mean I can't spoil it, but you start putting pieces together like, okay, this can't work out like they think it could, you know, especially what we're told. But as far as one of your more grounded horror thriller type movies, it is, you know, I appreciate that. And like I said, man, this, you know, you get so many people who they do copycat versions of horror.
Oh, sure.
Everybody does jump scares like this. Everybody has people, these types like this. It's kind of cool to see someone who comes in and they have a script where it's more character oriented. So, like, you know, like, I don't even like these people that much, but I'm still, I fear for them.
Yeah.
You know, I fear for their situation. You know, what they're in does seem plausible to a certain extent. So, yeah, man. Yeah, you know, what would you give it?
Oh, I give it a low full price. It was really satisfying for me.
Yeah, I'm right behind you.
And you know what? It's. I mean, the only thing that made me think I might give it a rental is just the running time because it's so short. But at the same time, it's like, no, that's a plus.
I don't have a problem with that.
No. Just sometimes I feel like if you pay a certain amount of money, you want a movie to be a certain length. But this is tight.
Yeah,
and I like that.
That's
I was
better,
like, you
especially
know what?
For
this
horror.
This is actually like no. This is good. It stays. It says just exactly what it has to say, and then it's like, all right, I'm done.
There's only a couple of slow parts in here, even at the running time that it has. Like I said, you know, thinking about it is like, okay, you know, it falls apart if you leave and think about it. You know what? Again, especially what they show you in the credits, the end credits. But as far as what they want to do within the film and their goals, which I imagine is to actually keep you on edge the whole time, keep you tightly wound up as you watch these people fall apart and unravel, it works very well at that on that atmospheric atmospheric level. And I give it a very high matinee.
Okay.
I think this is a very strong directorial debut.
Mm-hmm. Y'all sell me on this.
Yeah. It's you know, you see a lot of these. I mean, this is cool to see a lot of these directors who you wouldn't even expect horror movies to come in from them, and they come in and they do it, and they just show all these other movies and all these other people worked in horror for probably a long time. You know what?
This is how you do this.
This is how you do this, man. This is something new right here. You know, I'm thinking of people like Jordan Peele.
Right. Danny
McBride with Halloween. You know, I'm looking at this right here, man. You need, it's almost like you just need people. You need comedians and goofy ass motherfuckers to come in and bring horror. Because a lot of people who, you know, claim to be real horror people, they're just doing the same shit, man. They rely too much on the jump scares and the blood.
Yeah, exactly. They focus on the kills. Like, my fans want to see the kills. It's like, yeah, but maybe something with the characters.
Yeah, and also they focus on the same horror film characters you were talking about. There's always one guy not taking things seriously, joking when he shouldn't be. Then that's the guy you always want to see die. and then the one who's hysterical, the one who's not. You know what I'm saying? You get the same Scooby-Doo-ass gang together, and then
you have one of the female characters who's hysterical, and even though she makes sense, you're like, I just want her to die so she stops screaming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get the one guy going, da-da-da, and making jokes and pranking people when, hey, somebody's already died. Time for you to do that shit before.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Cut the shit out.
Yeah.
And then you can't wait for him to die because he's annoying you so much.
Yeah.
And you're not feeling anything, you know? And so it's like, you know.
No, this is very
character. You're like, I can't wait to get sliced up, then, you know, whatever.
No, this is very character based on a very human level. You
but
know?
Y'all both made that point. I was just, kind of jumping on that because I haven't seen the film. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. A couple people asking, what would Corey Bot think about this? Oh, he hated it.
Who?
Corey Bot.
Oh, Corbett.
He'd hate it. Not enough blood, not enough titties.
Titties. Not enough, yeah, exactly.
He'd hate it.
It's kind of low on titties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can tell you right, he'd hate it.
Charlie! Tell me that's not a camera.